Thank you so much for leading us in worship. I want to express, first of all, my appreciation for you being here. I know this is a busy time in the semester, and there's a lot of pressure that you're probably facing. Yesterday, we had a joint chapel with the Germantown campus and the Stephen Olford Center in Memphis, and we prayed specifically for the Union family, that at this time you'd find God's grace and strength through these weeks as the semester ends. Anybody feeling that pressure? A little bit? And I've often said, you know, if you want to sleep or you want to work on a paper, you know, if it's all right with God, it's all right with me. And so you feel free. But I do have a message that I want to share with you, and it comes from the Word of God. And it's a marvelous passage of Scripture. And I want us to read that passage of Scripture and then consider the theme of true devotion to the Lord. True devotion to the Lord, because I want to challenge you today to waste your life for Christ. Yes, you heard me right. Waste your life for Christ. And you'll see what I mean as you look at this passage of Scripture. It's Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're going to be reading 11 verses. And if you have your Bible, you can look along with me. If you don't, you can't. And so let me just read it for you. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. How marvelous. How wonderful is our Savior's love towards us. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he, that is Jesus, was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, I wonder how he said these words. Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do them good. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we want to have a fresh sense of your presence by your Holy Spirit as we look at your word. Speak to our hearts. Lord, do something. Reward these dear friends who've come here for a few moments to focus on you and your word. Lord, may there be a fresh sense of your presence and a fresh stirring of our love for you in true devotion to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we try to relive and retell this story, my concern is to bring out this whole subject of true devotion to the Lord. You know, it's possible for our love for Jesus to grow cold. It can become routine. It can get caught up in the things of life. Life comes at you pretty quickly. And after a while, you find out that you're on a treadmill, and that edge, that excitement, that dynamic, that love for Jesus is sort of hidden somewhere underneath. And we need to be reminded. That's one of the goals of chapel, to be touched afresh by the marvelous love of our Savior. And sometimes a very simple act takes on a greater significance That's the case in this passage of Scripture. This is a scene in a home. It's not something unusual. It's a home meal. It's a little bit like Thanksgiving in a few days. Some of you will probably be eating. You're probably hoping that you'll be eating at Thanksgiving time. And this is a meal time in a home. And this act takes on a very special significance. Let me give you an illustration. You may be familiar that a movie is being released these days called The Blind Side. That's a movie that has to do with a gentleman who now is in the NFL playing football. He was a first-round draft choice, and he's a very good football player, very big football player. But Michael Orr grew up in Memphis and had a lot of struggles as a young teenager, was in and out of 11 different schools, and ended up at the Briarcrest Christian School. And there was a couple, Sean and Leanne Tui. My wife Ellen has known Leanne for many years, who saw the need to express an act of kindness, an act of love to this young man, and they invited him into their home, eventually adopted him. But out of that simple act, now all of a sudden, what's happening? You have this movie. You have this movie that will release this story to millions of people. A simple act has now taken on even a greater significance because it's part of a story that many are going to hear about. Well, Jesus says at the very end of this text that what this woman did is to be proclaimed to the whole world. This simple act is taking on a tremendous significance. So it's worth us taking a little time to look at it. What happened? What's going on here? Let's do a little CSI Bethany and figure out what's going on in this text. You see, Jesus is going to the cross right around this text, and that's why we read verses 1 and 2 and 10 and 11. There's conspiracy and betrayal. That's the ugly frame that sits around this beautiful picture of this act. Conspiracy, the chief priests and scribes. Betrayal, Judas on the other end. And then Jesus is going to celebrate the supper. He's going to say, "Not my will, but thine be done," in Gethsemane. He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried. He's going to be scourged. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried. And of course, triumphantly, he's going to be raised again. And that's what Mark's gospel is leading up to. It focuses on this wonderful cross that we just sang about. So you need to keep that in mind. The shadow of the cross is right across this passage of Scripture. But here he is in Bethany. It's a place of warmth. It's a warm home, family, friends. You have Mary, Martha, Lazarus. That's a place that Jesus loved, I'm sure. And it says, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, don't you wish we knew more about that? Wouldn't it be interesting if I was introduced that way this morning? David the leper is speaking to you. Well, they were at the home of Simon the leper, and then it happened. Then it happened. You have this act of devotion displayed. It just says simply, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Notice it was something that was done personally. I don't think it was on an order of worship. I don't think she came in with a bunch of anointers when the anointers were supposed to come in. I don't think it was something that was done in concert. As a matter of fact, you're going to see it was criticized. No, this was something very personal, as Jesus points out later. It was also done with humility. Her name isn't even given. I believe it was Mary. That's what John tells us in John chapter 12. But the name isn't even given. And the very act of anointing someone demonstrated reverence and respect and humility towards that person. It was an act of humility. But of course, we think of it as a sacrificial act, don't we? The text points that out. It was pure nard. It was very costly. It was broken and spilled out. It was irretrievable. It was done completely. It was done for Jesus completely. I don't think she scurried around on the ground and tried to pick up the excess ointment and put it back in the flask for next year. That wasn't the point. It was done completely, which, by the way, is the nature of sacrifice. And lastly, it was purposeful. Jesus' words point that out. This wasn't something she just did mindlessly. It was something that was done with heart and mind as she anointed our Lord Jesus. Before we just move on, how's our devotion today? Our devotion to the Lord, is it personal? Is it something that is humble before Him? Is it sacrificial? We're presenting ourselves to Him. Is it purposeful with all our mind, heart, and soul? What a beautiful picture this is, this true devotion displayed. But notice it was criticized. We have to go further because this is the key here. Notice what was said. There were some who said to themselves indignantly. We love to talk to ourselves, don't we? Why was this ointment wasted like that? It's funny they didn't look at Jesus and say, Jesus, why did she waste this on you? But they didn't say that. They talked among themselves and said, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. Now, they have a point, don't they? I mean, there seems to be a bit of ethical sensitivity there for the poor. But I think we need to see this in context. First of all, their anger sort of gives away that something may not be 100% correct here. The disciples had a bad record when they got angry. Peter rebuked Jesus. They were harshly treating children who wanted to come to Jesus. They were arguing among themselves, who's the greatest? It's not a good sign that they were indignant and they scolded her. Secondly, you look at the actions to follow, and I'm not sure how seriously we need to take their words. John tells us that Judas was the primary spokesperson here. And I'm not sure Judas's thoughts should be taken all that seriously. He's just about to betray Jesus. Peter's about to deny Jesus. They're all going to flee. And so this critic's corner really isn't a very good one to listen to. But what's interesting to me, and I don't know that I've ever seen this in a commentary, but you know what's interesting to me is that they didn't wait to hear what Jesus thought. I would think that the Son of God, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, the one who has all wisdom, would be able to discern the value of this act of worship. And it might have been smart for them to wait to hear what Jesus had to say since it was done to Him, right? That makes sense? But instead, they jumped to conclusions. And the saddest part of this text is that they missed it. They missed it. They missed the opportunity to enter into this act of worship. They missed the opportunity to be touched by what this woman did and to enter in and say, Jesus, You're worthy. Jesus, we love You. Jesus, we exalt You. Jesus, You're everything we need. Jesus, You're going to the cross. We're excited about that. Oh, we love You, Jesus. Why was this ointment wasted? Could have been given to the poor. It's a lot of money in this. Let me ask you a question. Are we quick to criticize? Are we quick to criticize? Nothing wrong with being discerning. Nothing wrong with seeking to sort out what's truly right in any given situation. But occasionally, our criticism comes because of our own lack of devotion, our own apathy, our own lack of willingness to really put it on the table and give it all. And maybe there was a little bit of that in the disciples. They were quick to criticize. But maybe more important for you this morning, because you're here in chapel and you've taken the time out to be here, is to ask you, are you ready to face criticism? Are you ready to face criticism for your devotion to Christ? It's going to happen. This group here, these weren't people out in the community. These weren't the scribes and the Pharisees. These were part of the inner circle, the disciples and others. And sometime church folk can be critical. Church folk can act like They don't understand. And when someone comes forth with great commitment and says, I'm giving my life to Jesus, in what arena it might be, whether it's in the business world or the mission field or the ministry or in nursing or whatever, but I am serving Christ, some people will say, you're going over the top. It's a little out of the ordinary. You see, every community and every church has a certain level of spirituality that's cool. And if you stay there, you're all right. But if you go a little bit over the top and you sing a little louder and you raise your hands a little higher and you talk a little more deeply and you act a little more directly, all of a sudden, you're different. And not to you, of course, but to themselves, people will go, you know, what's really going on here? Criticism, unusual devotion, extraordinary sacrifice will often lead to criticism. And as I said, the sad thing is they missed the point. They missed an opportunity to enter in. Well, let's look at what Jesus said, because that's the most important thing. It usually is, by the way. Not only is this act displayed and criticized, it's defended. It's defended. That's how I know it was a good act. What does Jesus say? He says, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whatever you want, you can do them good, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. This was an act of appreciation and adoration for Jesus, but it was also an act, we're going to talk about this, that was preparation for his death, his burial. And that's the way Jesus interprets it. But what about this business about the poor here? Are we disappointed in Jesus? Is he being a little selfish here? Of course, we'd never say that, right? Of course not. What's he saying? Well, he's not comparing himself to the poor. Jesus ministered to the poor. Jesus was poor. He came out of the riches of heaven, and he became poor that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And Jesus is in no sense saying that we shouldn't care for the poor. Matter of fact, that's one of the greatest manifestations of our love for Jesus now, is to give to the poor, like the project we saw as we entered the chapel. So what's he saying? The contrast is between the always and the not always. Don't miss that. When you're looking at Scripture, you need to study it carefully. What he's saying is that what this lady did, what this woman did, was very significant at that moment. You see, he was going to the cross. He was going to die. And evidently, the rest of the group didn't really get it. They didn't have a sensitivity to it. But this lady, and if it was Mary, you could understand why, because she sat at the feet of Jesus. She seemed to be in tune with this song of redemption that Jesus was all about. She understood that he's going to the cross. And she was a part of that, and she entered into that, and she rejoiced in that in the sense of honoring Jesus as he was going to the cross and was going to die for my sins and yours. You see how her act of devotion got caught up in something bigger? See, it wasn't just a simple act. She became a part of the whole drama of redemption. And now her act of devotion is talked about throughout the world, where it seems like some of the others in the room were a bit clueless. She did something good. She did something beautiful. She did what she could. She did what she could when she could do it. She did what she could when she could do it for Jesus. And that's what makes it especially important. She did it for Jesus. And that's what Jesus draws attention to. He says, she did a beautiful thing for me. For me. Many years ago, my grandfather went to Angola as a missionary. My father grew up there, and after his high school years, which actually he was in Angola at that time, he returned to the British Isles for education. And he had a period of time where his devotion grew cold and where he really wasn't as interested in the things of the Lord. And he was in a motorcycle wreck, and he became very ill, and he literally was sent home. The doctor said they couldn't do much else for my father at that time. Well, he received a letter from my grandfather from Angola, and of course that was before text messaging and emails and Facebook and everything else. And so there was a time lag, and my grandfather knew nothing of what had happened to his son, who was literally dying. And he sent him a brief note, didn't talk about the new advances in Angola and special events, but he said he was burdened, and he said these words, which I'm sure you've heard many, many times: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. My father heard those words, and he got out of bed, and he surrendered to the Lord and asked for healing, and God granted that, and he went into ministry, and for years and years and years, he lived a surrendered life and served the Lord, and many were blessed. But you see, it's what we do for Christ that will last. Do you see this in this picture? Do you see it? What this woman did was not just a one-time event. It's to be retold and retold, and it's part of the great picture of what the Lord's all about in this world. We have an act of devotion here, displayed, criticized, defended by Jesus. What she did was good. It was right. It was for me. Lastly, notice that this event is to be remembered. Jesus said, I tell you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Now, what relevance does that have to us as we're just about to wrap up and go to the next class? What does that mean to us? I'd like to apply it this way. I believe that any act of true devotion has eternal significance. I believe that anything that is done truly to Christ is ultimately significant. In other words, it counts. It matters. And so when I say waste your life for Christ, I obviously am saying that tongue in cheek, because it's not a waste. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. What she did was not a waste. Why? Because she did it for me. And she did it meaningfully in light of the cross, in light of my death. She did it for me. And you know, I believe if we live our lives that way, whether we're writing a paper, whether we're taking an exam, whether we're studying nursing, whether we're helping one another in the various common areas or where you live, or we're ministering in the community, but if we're doing it seriously with devotion to Christ, it matters. It matters. Can you say that with me? It matters. It matters. There are so many things in this life that really do not matter. I heard a radio program the other day where they were talking about the secret life of a washing machine. And they were trying to tell you the best way to put things in a washing machine. Now, that's not a bad thing to know. It'll probably help you get the dishes a little cleaner. But folks, we can fall back into meaningless stuff so easily, particularly in our culture. We have a ruthless culture that loves trivia. And what I want you to know is that if you truly love Jesus, and if you truly are willing to put it out there and risk it all for Him and do what you do for Him, it matters. It matters. It's part of what Jesus is doing in this world. You're caught up in all that He is doing as He's building His kingdom, and you are a part of that. It matters. It counts. It means something. And you'll find great, great fulfillment and satisfaction. And more than that, you'll touch the heart of the Lord, who will say, she did it for me. He did it for me. A couple of questions as we close. How do you want to be remembered here at Union? Actually, all that counts ultimately is what the Lord thinks. But how do you want to be remembered? I would trust that you would want to be remembered as somebody who loved Jesus passionately and was willing to do everything for him. And so will you commit yourself to that this morning? Say, Lord Jesus, we've sang about your wonderful cross. We stand amazed in light of what you've done for us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will take all of those truths that we hear about and we read about and we talk about and will burn it into our heart and enable us, Lord, to respond in a life of true devotion. Yes, that each act we do will have significance because it is done for Christ. And it will last because of that. Let's pray together. Let's put him first in all things. Recognize that always won't be popular. Matter of fact, you'll be criticized. You'll be questioned. And this text is certainly not a license to waste money. That's not the point at all. But it's calling us to focus on Jesus and know what he's about and to draw close to him and to do what we do for him and to lay it all on the table and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. My heart is yours. And I want to be totally devoted to you. That everything I do will count. It will count. It will be remembered in heaven. It lasts because it's part of your kingdom work. If that's your commitment this morning, I just ask that you would pray this prayer to the Lord. Lord, I'm putting you first afresh. I want everything I do to be for you, for your glory, to magnify you from a heart that is truly given to you. Lord, receive my worship, my devotion. May it continue by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings to you.